Once again, good morning and welcome to worship at West End. We're delighted that you're here, especially if you're here for the first time or you've just begun attending. Those of us who are here week in and week out will be looking for folks we don't know, won't we? Need to see some heads nodding out there. Yes, we will, and we want to greet you and welcome you, but if we don't get to you quickly enough, you find someone and introduce yourself to us because we love it that you're here. We hope you'll become involved in one way or another. You can look in your bulletin insert. There are lots of ways to be involved in what God is doing in and through this congregation. I'm going to lift up just a few right now. First of all, this afternoon, our Tazay service is at 5 p.m. here in the sanctuary. If you have never attended a Tazay service, it's a time of respite and rest from the busyness and the noisiness of most of our lives. There's singing, there's silence, there's prayer, and I think it might just be the refreshment you need. Give it a try. Today, 5 p.m. in the sanctuary today. Also, the final performance of God of Carnage will take place at 1 p.m. today in the four-story theater. It's wonderfully written. It's powerfully portrayed by the cast. It is not for the faint of heart. It is not for those who are easily offended by strong language, but it's a powerful statement about how we treat each other and the consequences of how we treat each other. One more chance to see it. 1 p.m. in the four-story theater. The May collection for Barefoot Republic Summer Camp will be collected in the blue bins. You probably saw some as you came in from the parking lot. You can read more about the items we need there, but all through the month of May, we will be collecting for Barefoot Republic Summer Camp. And then finally, our 2016 youth missions are getting geared up for this summer. If you would like to be either a prayer partner or you would like to make a donation, there's a table in Reed Hall. You can talk to someone there. They can tell you about the youth trips, and you can become a prayer partner or make a donation to that effort. Also, be sure and put August 7th on your calendar, because at 9:45 between services, we're going to have our mission celebration on that Sunday morning. So I hope you'll be present for that. Take a deep breath. You don't think about breathing often, do you? We just do it. We don't think about it. We don't think about how if we ever stopped, we would die, how necessary the air we breathe is to our continuing existence on this earth. And the same is true of the presence of God. We don't often think about it, but it surrounds us like the air we breathe and is absolutely necessary for life.
We gather in the awareness of God's love. We live with confidence and hope in the assurance that we are accepted by a power greater than ourselves. Let us call on the name of the one who invites us to speak the truth about ourselves and our relationships and promises to show us mercy. Holy and merciful God, we do not know how to pray as we ought, and we know too well our constant failures to do as you have commanded and to hold fast to your word. Forgive us for the divisions we nurture. Guide us to your way. Keep us in your care and lead us into faith. We trust your word that the Spirit of truth will show us all things and grant us courage and peace. Forgiveness and love have been poured out upon you to offer hope to all nations. You are called and blessed to be messengers of God's good news to all people. Amen.
Thank you.
One of the great joys of the church is the baptism of children. This morning, Ryan Allen and Whitney Allen bring their daughter, Aubrey Reynolds Allen, to God before the community of faith for baptism.
Brothers and sisters in Christ, through the sacrament of baptism, we are initiated into Christ's holy church. We are incorporated into God's mighty acts of salvation and given new birth through water and the Spirit. All this is God's gift offered to us without price. I ask you the following questions. Whitney and Ryan, on behalf of the whole church, do you renounce the spiritual forces of wickedness, reject the evil powers of this world, and repent of your sin? Do you accept the freedom and power God gives you to resist evil, injustice, and oppression in whatever forms they present themselves to you? Do you confess Jesus Christ as your Savior, put your whole trust in His grace, and promise to serve Him as your Lord, in union with the church which Christ has opened to people of all ages, nations, and races? Will you nurture this child into Christ's holy church, that by your teaching, she may be guided to accept God's grace for herself, to profess her faith openly, and lead a Christian life? Congregation, do you, as Christ's body, the church, reaffirm both your rejection of sin and your commitment to Christ? If you do, answer by saying, we do.
We do.
Will you nurture one another in the Christian faith and life and include this child now before you into your care? With God's help, we will proclaim the good news and live according to the example of Christ. Will you surround this child with a community of love and forgiveness that she may grow in her service to others?
We will pray for her. That she may be a true disciple
who walks in the way that leads to life.
Let us pray. Eternal God, when nothing existed but chaos, you swept across the dark waters and brought forth light. In the days of Noah, you saved those on the ark through water. After the flood, you sat in the clouds a rainbow. When you saw your people as slaves in Egypt, you led them to freedom through the sea. Their children you brought through the Jordan to the land which you promised. In the fullness of time, you sent Jesus, nurtured in the water of a womb. He was baptized by John and anointed by your Spirit. He called his disciples to share in the baptism of his death and resurrection and to make disciples of all nations. Now pour out your Holy Spirit to bless this gift of water and this child who receives it, to wash away her sin and clothe her in righteousness throughout her life, that dying and being raised with Christ, she may share in his final victory. All praise to you, eternal God, through your Son, Jesus Christ, who with you and the Holy Spirit lives and reigns forever and ever. Amen. Will you come to me? Huh? Hi, sweetie. Hi there. Yeah, pulling on that beard could be fun, couldn't it? Huh? Let me give you that. What name is given this child? Aubrey Reynolds, I baptize you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I know. You want to lay hands on her? Aubrey Reynolds, the Holy Spirit work within you, that being born by water and the Spirit, you may be a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ all your days. Amen. Oh, I know. I know. I'm going to give you to Daddy now, okay? There you go. There. If you all will come with me.
Will the congregation please stand and face Aubrey Reynolds? Now it is our joy to welcome our new sister in Christ. Members of the household of God, I commend Aubrey Reynolds to your love and care. Do all in your power to increase her faith, confirm her hope, and perfect her in love.
We give thanks for all that God has already given you, Aubrey Reynolds, and we welcome you in Christian love as members together with you in the body of Christ. And in this congregation of the United Methodist Church, we renew our covenant to participate faithfully in the ministries of the church by our prayers, our presence, our gifts, our service, and our witness, that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ.
Child of blessing, child of promise, baptized with the Spirit's Son, in this loveland God bless you, of due grace and grace divine.
Please join with me in our prayer for illumination. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures are read and the word proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Amen. A lesson from the Acts of the Apostles. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. And suddenly from heaven there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues as of fire appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability. Now there were devout Jews from every nation under heaven living in Jerusalem. And at this sound, the crowd gathered and was bewildered, because each one heard them speaking in the native language of each. Amazed and astonished, they asked, "Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear each of us in our own native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs, in our own languages we hear them speaking about God's deeds of power. All were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, 'What does this mean?' But others sneered and said, 'They are filled with new wine.' But Peter, standing with the 11, raised his voice and addressed them, 'Men of Judea and all who live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and listen to what I say. Indeed, these are not drunk as you suppose, for it is only 9 o'clock in the morning. No, this is what was spoken through the prophet Joel. In the last days it will be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even upon my slaves, both men and women, in those days I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show portents to the heavens above, and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and smoky mist. And the sun shall be turned to darkness, and the moon to blood, before the coming of the Lord's great and glorious day, and then everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved.'" The word of God for the people of God.
Please be seated. If there are other youngsters who'd care to join us, come on down. You can bring a parent or grandparent if that makes you more comfortable. It's perfectly all right. I have a story for you today, the first story, and that is from the first book of the Bible called Genesis. It's a story about people who thought they could build a building so high that it could reach up to God. So they started that building and they built it higher and higher and higher and higher, and they could do that because everybody in the world spoke the same language. So everybody understood what everybody was saying. When somebody asked for a brick, they got a brick. When they asked for mud, they got mud. It worked well. But that building got high enough that the angels surrounding the throne of God looked down and said, "I don't know about this. These humans will pretty soon think they are gods." Well, God looked down and said, "I'll put a stop to this." You know what God did? God made them speak different languages. So when somebody said, "Good morning," the other person would say, "Buenos dias," or "Guten Morgen." When somebody asked for a brick, they got a handful of mud. When they asked for mud, they got a brick. They couldn't continue building because they all spoke different languages. And so the story says they all moved to different parts of the world, and that's why people in different parts of the world speak different languages. Well, that was a cause for what we call division, because when you don't understand someone else's language, it's really hard to talk to them. And it's really hard to tell them that you love them or that God loves them. And so the story you just heard is the way God fixed that. You see, the disciples of Jesus were all in one place. And while they were there, there was a sound of a big wind. And it looked like, almost like there were flames of fire over each of their heads just hanging in the air. And they started to speak in languages they had never studied. And the people there, no matter where they came from or what language they spoke, heard the story of how God loves us so much that God became one of us and came to us so that we can know that each and every one of us is a beloved child of God. And so at that point, it didn't matter which language you spoke because you could understand how much God loves you in the language that you had first learned. Well, even today, I think sometimes it's important for us to tell people about God's love in a way that they can understand. All of you have heard this about God's love for you, or else you wouldn't be here. All of the folks out there have heard about God's love for them, or else they wouldn't be here this morning. That's part of our job, is to try to bring people together so that they can know that God's love is for them and they can hear it in a way that they can understand it. I'm going to talk some more about that, but I hope you'll remember that story from the first of the Bible, the first part of the Bible, when all the languages were divided and people couldn't get along to work, and this story about Pentecost, the day we celebrate today, when all the people were able to hear about God's love in their own lives. Let's pray. Thank you, God, for letting us know how much you love us, and thank you for letting us know in a way that we can all understand. Help us to share that news with all we meet about how God loves them, and we pray that you will use our voices so that they will understand your love as well. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I was in my last semester of college across the street. It was 45 years ago. Hard to imagine looking at me, huh? And I got to take a course at the Divinity School. Now, I was an undergraduate, and we didn't ordinarily take courses at the Divinity School, but I had the opportunity to take one from a man named Dr. John Killinger. Dr. Killinger had traveled to Paris the year before and had written a book on theater of the absurd, and because I was a theater student, and because I was the only undergraduate in the class, I was kind of a favored child, I have to admit. And I kind of enjoyed that status. In any case, it was a fairly small seminar class, and one day we were waiting for it to begin. One of the divinity school students came in, slammed his books down on the table, and said to all the students who were gathered there, "I wish that one day we could just line all the professors on one side of Benton Chapel and all the students on the other side of Benton Chapel, and we could shout the names of German theologians at each other until we could sit down and talk like human beings." You think he was frustrated with seminary? I think maybe so. The sad truth is, we often don't talk to each other like human beings, do we? We talk from our particular specialty, whether that's theology or medicine or law or education, or we talk from our particular political ideology or our particular party, and we don't just talk like human beings and listen like human beings. I think that's part of the frustration, not just for that individual, but for all of us as well. Because we want to hear from others, and we want to share our stories with others like people, just people, to tell the truth of our lives and to have that truth heard, and to have others tell the truth of their lives, and for us to be able to hear that. You see, that's what happened on that first Pentecost. Now, you need to remember, all the folks in that story are Jewish. All of Jesus' followers who are gathered in that room are Jewish. All those people from all those different countries are Jewish, and they are all there because before Pentecost was a Christian holiday, it was a Jewish holiday. It was called Shavuos or Shavuot. And it was one of the pilgrim celebrations, one of the pilgrim holidays. So if you could, you were supposed to come to Jerusalem. So one reason why so many people were there from so many different countries is that they were pilgrims to this celebration. When the Holy Spirit began to move through the followers of Jesus, however, all of those language barriers dissolved. They could hear the good news of how God had come as a human being in Jesus Christ in order to share the fullness of God's love in a way that they could understand it. It didn't matter where they came from, didn't matter what their background was, didn't matter what their original language was. They were able to hear that good news. Because you see, while in John, Jesus simply comes in and breathes on his disciples, and they receive the Holy Spirit. In Acts, Luke has a different idea. When the Holy Spirit comes, it's not just for the in crowd. It's not just for those immediate followers of Jesus. No, there's a job assignment that goes with it. And that job assignment is to take that sense of God's Holy Spirit and love and spread it as far out as possible. And the past few weeks, we've been hearing about how after this initial incoming of the Spirit, there was an outgoing of the Spirit that went far beyond the Jewish tradition that included Cornelius and Lydia and other Gentiles. And otherwise, we wouldn't be sitting here today. Thank God for that. But as we receive the Holy Spirit, we have an assignment too. These young people who are about to be confirmed are all here because they have heard the message of God's love for them. You have heard the message of God's love for you in a way that you could understand it through confirmation classes, through Sunday school, through growing up in families that help to nurture you along the way. That's why you're here. But you see, we have a job description that goes with that. I'll share it with you, but I'll share it with everybody. You can boil it down to three commandments, right? The rabbis say there were 613 commandments in the Torah. We all know the top 10. Jesus boiled it down to three. Love God, number one. He took that from the 613. Love your neighbor as yourself, which means you have to know yourself as a child of God before you can treat your neighbor as a child of God. He took that one from the 613 as well. But then he added one that you won't find in the 613 commandments, and that is, love one another as I have loved you. And we know from the stories of the Gospels that Jesus loved us so much that he was willing to give himself over to the power of the most powerful empire that had ever been known in the world to that time. And he was willing to submit himself to the most cruel death that they could imagine and come up with in order to show us how much God loves us. And so our job description is to love one another as we have been loved. That spirit that moves through us is to move outward. And we do that, I think, by simply telling each other our stories and hearing the stories of others. This past week, our general conference has been meeting. And you may be watching it avidly. You may not even be aware that it's meeting. They're making decisions for the next 4 years for the entire United Methodist Church. You haven't heard as much about it as you will next week because they've been in committee meetings this week. When they're in plenary sessions, that's when it hits the news. But there was one decision that was made that I grieve. It's a decision that sounds very arcane. They failed to pass Rule 44. What is Rule 44? Well, you need to know that at our general conference, we are structured around Robert's Rules of Order, which is basically a political system for making decisions where the majority wins and those who may not, even if it's a majority of one, and everyone else loses. Rule 44 was intended by the general conference that was held 4 years ago to provide a time when people could simply sit down and tell each other their stories, talk around tables, say what their experience had been, get to know each other as human beings. In other words, as that divinity school student said so many years ago, to sit down and talk like human beings, not representatives of any ideology, not representatives of any particular perspective, but just people with stories. Sadly enough, General Conference failed to include that for this year. It was voted down. It makes me very sad that not only can we not admit that we disagree on things, which proves that we disagree on things, but we can't even agree to sit down and talk about it. Because you see, that's how we share our faith, is by telling our stories, not by hitting people over the head, simply sharing our stories. I think that's how the Holy Spirit continues to work through us. Just a few minutes ago, you heard me say a prayer over Aubrey Reynolds, and you're going to hear us say that same prayer over all of the folks who come for baptism or confirmation a little bit later in the service. That prayer goes like this. You hear it a lot here. We're fortunate. We have a lot of baptisms. The Holy Spirit work within you, that being born by water and the Spirit, you may be a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ. Now, I always add to that all your days, because I don't want anybody going away from here thinking, be a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ today or just on Sundays. No, every day of your life, that's what we're called to do. Love God and our neighbor as ourselves and to love others as Christ has loved us. That's our job description every morning when we wake up. At some point or other, you heard that message. And the Holy Spirit continues to work through you. And the idea is that we are able to tell our stories in part because we have a story to tell. We know that God loves us because a parent has loved us, or a grandparent has loved us, or a congregation has loved us. And we have seen in that person the love of God shining through. We couldn't know how to love were it not that someone loved us first. And of course, that first love came from God. Always did, always does, always will. In addition to being that power of witness, of telling our story and hearing the stories of others, that transformative power that helped the church to expand and grow and to welcome people who were unwelcomed elsewhere. The Holy Spirit is also described as a comforter. When you are frustrated or when you are down, when you are sad, when you're hurt, when you're alone, when you're afraid, the Holy Spirit is there to comfort you. When you have been rejected by the church or told you were unwelcome, unwanted, an abomination, the Holy Spirit is there to comfort you. One of the images that best speaks to that for me is an image that comes from a book that was published several years ago. You may have read the book or seen the film made from it called The Help. The Holy Spirit in that book, at least in my understanding, is an African-American maid named Abilene. She takes care of a little girl who is not really very much appreciated in her own family because she's not as pretty as her family would like for her to be. She does not have the potential to grow up to be that Southern belle that her family wants her to grow up to be. But when Abilene rocks her, holds her in her lap and rocks her, she tells her, "You is kind, you is smart, you is important." It's what the Holy Spirit does for us. When everyone else says, "You're outside, we don't want you here." When everyone else says, "You're not good enough." When the culture says, "You don't fit our mold." The Holy Spirit comes and tells us, "You are indeed kind. You are indeed smart. You are indeed important because you are a child of God." That's what they heard on that first Pentecost. And they heard it in the language that they could understand it. So if you take nothing else away from this confirmation, and I hope you take a great deal away from it, I hope you'll remember that every day your job description is to love God and love your neighbor as yourself and to love one another and all people as Christ has loved us. And that at heart, it doesn't matter what anybody else says about you because the Holy Spirit of God has already said to you, you are kind, you are smart, you are important, you are my beloved child. Guess what? The Holy Spirit says that to you as well. Now may the Holy Spirit work within you, that all of you being born by water and the Spirit, may you all be faithful disciples of Jesus Christ this day and every day to come. Amen.
We welcome all who gather to worship with us today. If you're a guest among us, a special word of welcome is extended to you. We're glad you're here. We hope that you will join us for coffee and fellowship in Reed Hall through the doors to your right following our worship service. Our Andrew ministers would love to greet you, answer any questions you may have. They'll be stationed in both Reed Hall and in the narthex in the rear of the sanctuary. You can look for their blue name tags. In the pew racks in front of you, you'll find a gray card. On one side of the card, you may record any comments you have for church staff and lay leadership. If you desire a callback, make sure to note that on the card and include your contact information. On the other side, please write down any prayer requests. Make sure to note if they're to be shared or kept confidential. And then this card can be placed in the offering plate as it's passed in just a moment. Also, make sure to record your attendance with us by passing the attendance pad you find down the center aisle, if you have not already done so. And as it's passed back, make sure to look and see who's worshiping next to you this morning and greet them after the service if you haven't already done so. This morning, we have two roses on the communion table. We're celebrating two births. Mary Grace Middendorf was born February 11th, 2016, to David and Amanda McElroy Middendorf. She is welcomed also by her grandparents, Arden and Charlie McElroy, her great-grandmother, Mary Virginia Ritter, and her aunt, Amy McElroy. Also, Jasper Allen Atkinson was born May 8th in Las Vegas to Leah and Bennett Atkinson. He is welcomed also by his grandparents, Tom and Lois Atkinson, and his aunt, Ruth Jackson. Also this morning, we mourn with Bill and Sally Norton and their family as they're mourning the death of Bill's father, William Lafayette Norton, Jr. He died at the age of 94 in Gainesville, Georgia on May 8th. Services were held there on Saturday, May 14th. Among his other survivors are his grandchildren, Will and Jameson Norton and Sarah Norton Ross. Prepare our hearts and minds to hear you speak to us, loving God, as we lift up both our silent and spoken prayers. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. O Holy Spirit, source of creation, come to those who are ill or in trouble to heal them in body, mind, and soul, that they may return to abundant life. O Holy Spirit, mind of God, come to those in power to enlighten their minds with your mercy and wisdom, that their work may reflect and extend your will for all creation. O Holy Spirit, presence of Christ, come to those you call your own to enlighten their minds with your grace and truth, that we may be your hands and feet in this world you love. O Holy Spirit, comforter and companion, come to all of us to guide our actions and words, that we may rejoice in your presence and make this world your home. O Holy God, who is three in one perfect community, we pray these and all of our prayers for the glory of your name, in the spirit of the one who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. God has been gracious to us. Let us now, with generous spirit, present our offerings to God.
Two of the great joys of the church are baptism and confirmation. This morning, Taylor Gwynn presents herself to God before the community of faith for baptism, and then join William Lewis Bibb, Nina C. Fentress, Rebecca Jane Gilliland, Kirsten Kai Griffin, Carson Redmond Guthrie, Margaret Livingston Hooper, Sally Rebecca Hoyt, Ellie Kenningson, Hildy Elizabeth Medovich, Corinne Hayes Parker, Ellen Juliana Ridgel, and Miles Troxler for confirmation. Y'all are welcome to come to the chancel.
Brothers and sisters in Christ, through the sacrament of baptism, we are initiated into Christ's holy church. We are incorporated into God's mighty acts of salvation and given new birth through water and the Spirit. All this is God's gift offered to us without price. Through confirmation and through the reaffirmation of our faith, we renew the covenant declared at our baptism, acknowledge what God is doing for us, and affirm our commitment into Christ's church.
Let everybody get in place here, and this is a question for all of you, all those being baptized and confirmed. Do you accept the freedom and power God gives you to resist evil, injustice, and oppression in whatever forms they present themselves? If you do, please say, I do. On behalf of the whole church, do you renounce the spiritual forces of wickedness, reject the evil powers of this world, and repent of your sin? If you do, please say, I do. Do you confess Jesus Christ as your Savior, put your whole trust in His grace, and promise to serve Him as your Lord in union with the church which Christ has opened to people of all ages, nations, and races? If you do, please say, I do. And according to the grace given to you, will you remain faithful members of Christ's holy church and serve as Christ's representatives in the world? If you will, please say, I will.
And now to members of the congregation, I ask, do you, as Christ's body, the church, reaffirm both your rejection of sin and your commitment to Christ? If so, say, we do. Will you nurture one another in the Christian faith and life and include these persons now before you in your care?
With God's help, we will proclaim the good news and live according to the example of Christ. We will surround these persons with a community of love and forgiveness that they may grow in their trust of God and be found faithful in their service to others. We will pray for them that they may be true disciples who walk in the way that leads to life.
Let us join together in professing the Christian faith as contained in the affirmation of faith that has been written by this year's confirmation class. Please stand as you are able. We believe God is the creator of all we know and beyond.
God is the representation of the one true love.
We believe Jesus is the Son of God in human form that saves and redeems God's people. Jesus is the one who offers selfless love. We believe the Holy Spirit is the light of God, who guides us through the world God created, a powerful, loving entity of God that has the power to make us better people. We believe that human beings are the children of God, created in God's image. We destroy what we have been given and take the gifts we have for granted. All people are loved by God and belong to God. We believe the church is a community of believers in Jesus where we gather united in fellowship and love. We believe as disciples of Jesus Christ that we should show God's love through service and shine the light of His love on others with thankfulness.
You may be seated.
Taylor, will you please kneel? Let us pray. When nothing existed but chaos, you swept across the dark waters and brought forth light. In the days of Noah, you saved those on the ark through water. After the flood, you set in the clouds a rainbow. When you saw your people as slaves in Egypt, you led them to freedom through the sea. Their children you brought through the Jordan to the land which you promised. In the fullness of time, you sent Jesus, nurtured in the water of a womb. He was baptized by John and anointed by your Spirit. He called his disciples to share in the baptism of his death and resurrection and to make disciples of all nations. Pour out your Holy Spirit to bless this gift of water, and she who receives it to wash away her sin and clothe her in righteousness throughout her life, that in dying and being raised with Christ, she may share in his final victory. Amen. Taylor, I baptize you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Lay your hands on her. Taylor, the Holy Spirit work within you, that you, being born through water and the Spirit, may be a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ all of your days. Amen.
William Lewis, remember your baptism and be thankful.
May lay hands on him if you choose. William Lewis, may the Holy Spirit work within you, that being born by water and the Spirit, you may be a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ all your days. Amen.
Nina, remember your baptism and be thankful. Nina, the Holy Spirit work within you, that being born through water and the Spirit, you may be a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ all your days. Amen.
Becca Jane, remember your baptism and be thankful.
The Holy Spirit work within you, that being born through water and the Spirit, you may be a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ all of your days.
Let's just scoot down.
Kristen Kai, remember your baptism and be thankful. The Holy Spirit work within you, that you, being born through water and the Spirit, may be a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ all your days. Amen.
Carson Redman, remember your baptism and be thankful. May the Holy Spirit work within you, that being born by water and the Spirit, you may be a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ all your days.
Margaret Livingston, remember your baptism and be thankful. The Holy Spirit work within you, that being born through water and the Spirit, you may be a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ all your days. Amen.
Sally Rebecca, remember your baptism and be thankful. The Holy Spirit work within you, that being born through the water and the Spirit, you may be a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ all of your days. Amen.
Ellie, remember your baptism and be thankful. Lay your hands on her. the Holy Spirit work within you, that you, being born through water and the Spirit, you may be a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ all of your days. Amen.
Holy Spirit work within you, that being born through water and the Spirit, you may be a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ all your days.
Amen. Corinne Hayes, remember your baptism and be thankful. Corinne, the Holy Spirit work within you, that being born through water and the Spirit, you may be a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ all of your days. Amen.
Ellen, Juliana, remember your baptism and be thankful. The Holy Spirit work within you, that being born through water and the Spirit, you may be a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ all of your days. Amen. Amen.
Miles Lee, remember your baptism and be thankful. Miles, the Holy Spirit work within you, that you, being born through water and the Spirit, may be a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ all of your days. Amen.
Amen.
Confirmands, would you stand? As members of Christ's Universal Church, will you be loyal to the United Methodist Church and do all in your power to strengthen its ministries? If so, say, I will. I will. Okay. As members of this congregation at West End United Methodist Church, will you faithfully participate in our ministries by your prayers, your presence, your gifts, your service, and your witness, that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ? If so, say, I will.
So, parents who and friends in faith who are presenting stoles, you may stay up and everyone else may go back to your seats. But friends in faith or parents, it's time to please present the confirmands with their stoles that they have created and place them on their shoulders.
Confirmands, would you turn and face the congregation, please? Members of the household of God, I commend these persons to your love and care. Do all in your power to increase their faith, confirm their hope, and perfect them in love.
We give thanks for all that God has already given you, and we welcome you in Christian love. As members together with you in the body of Christ and in this congregation of the United Methodist Church, we renew our covenant to participate faithfully in the ministries of the Church by our prayers, our presence, our gifts, our service, and our witness, that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ.
Now may the God of all grace, who has called us to eternal glory in Christ, establish you and strengthen you by the power of the Holy Spirit, that you may live in grace and peace all your days. Amen.
Good morning. I'm Jack Ferrara. I'm a junior at Hume Fog. And on behalf of the youth ministry Here at West End, I want to welcome you all to the church and into the youth group. We look forward to your involvement in our ministry as we grow together in the loving light of Christ. Also, we invite the entire congregation to join us immediately following the service in Reed Hall to welcome our newest members of West End. Thank you.
Now go forth, accompanied by the Holy Spirit, to serve God and your neighbor in all that you do. And may the Holy Spirit work within you, that being born by water and the Spirit, you may be a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ each and every day. Go in peace.